Shout out.
From Bronze Ladle Studio, here's Enchained in the Membrane.
That was fancy. That was fancy. Ken wanted to do this live because he's getting all fancy, and I'm trying to tell him, don't fix what ain't broke, but he's trying to fix something that ain't broke.
To Enchained in the Membrane Podcast. I'm your host, Enchained Thompson. And here is my wonderful creative co-host, Kenneth James Hancock.
Stop.
I said last name.
Are you done? I know you did. I know you did. That's on you. Because you are not a very good lead host.
I'm not the host.
So you know what you should do?
Stay in my lane.
And shut your mouth.
Look pretty.
That's exactly what you do. Sit there, shut your mouth, and look pretty.
If you don't know me by
I want you to be just like I like my women. You know what I'm saying?
You will never, ever, ever know me.
That's a complete joke for anyone listening to this.
That's a total joke. You said I like...
I want you to be just like I like my women. Sit there, shut your mouth, and look pretty.
Okay.
That's not true. That's not true.
Yeah, let's tell Randa that.
Shout out. Hello, and welcome to the In Shane and the Membrane Podcast. I'm your host, Shane Thompson, and with me as always is my Presidential Fitness Award-winning friend, Ken H.
Two-time.
Dude,
sucker.
Let me tell you, Ken, real quick. I'm gonna tell you a short story.
When you told me you had a lead-in, I didn't know you were going here, but I love it. I love where this is going.
I recently in Sunday school, the question of the week was like a PE related story. Okay.
Okay.
And of course, I like most kids, I love PE. That's my favorite subject. Of course, you know, all through. And I did PE through the end of middle school.
I like PE like I like my women, active with a lot of sweat.
Shut up.
That was pretty good, huh?
Average.
Well, we just lost Jason's kids.
I know, really. Wow. Not even 3 minutes in and you've already ruined that.
Well, yeah.
All right, listen though. Listen to me. So I took PE seriously. Will you stop? Can you know what? He said he's on a diet, and I think your blood sugar's low. So I think you're
no doubt.
Yeah. You know what? Have some of my sweet tea.
No.
No, you know what? I don't want you drinking my Gold Peak sweet tea because it's like $1.70 a bottle. It's outrageously expensive.
You, never mind.
Yeah, that's good. All right, listen to me. So we're both 50 years of age.
Yes.
We both went to elementary and middle school in the 80s.
Yes.
We're children of the 80s.
Yes.
Correct? Okay. During that time period, there was the Presidential Physical Fitness Award.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, it was tough.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, I still look back and I think that was very unfair. I was physically fit in elementary school and middle school. I was very physically fit. In elementary school, there were like 30 kids in my class, and I was the third fastest.
Okay.
Okay. Kenneth Bigger
had
these really long strides. He was white, and he was just crazy fast. And then there was Jose,
who's
Mexican, and he was very fast. He was the only Mexican in the class, and I think he had to represent.
What does Spice ethnicity have anything to do with that?
I'm just saying, So I was third. I was third fastest out of 30, and I was pretty proud of that. I could never break into the top two. And then I get to middle school. I was on the cross country team in middle school.
Okay.
I could run pretty fast, two mile. I could usually do the 2 mile in about 14 and a half, 15 minutes, somewhere in there. I mean, I was pretty good. And I knew about every year in middle school, we did the test, right? The test, I'm using air quotes. And it was one at a time would go and they would test you on, and you, it was just a pass fail.
That's what it is. Yeah.
I know. So it was either you got it, or you didn't. And it was so difficult. I think I had to run a mile in like 6.5 minutes.
Okay.
That is a fast pace, Ken. Not many people are running it. And they had different goals for boys and girls, which I thought was a little unfair, you know. Because girls mature faster than boys, right?
Yeah, that's what they say. This is way before gender equality. I know. We grew up in the 80s.
Girls had to do 2 pull-ups. You know how many pull-ups I had to do?
10.
10 pull-ups. I really, this was like my 6th grade year, and I was really focused on it, and I didn't make it, and I thought, next year. So I trained. I think I had 6 or 7 pull-ups. And I remember, like, the whole class, the whole PE class is standing there, and I failed, and it was just like, I was heartbroken. It was brutal. I passed everything else, the sit and reach, the mile, the sit-ups. That was easy for me. But, man, pull-ups. And then, come to find out.
Don't forget the shuttle run.
Yes. Yeah, I can knock that out of the park. Anything with running, I was like, no problem. Then come to find out, no one in my class at that time made it. No one.
Are you serious? Middle
school class. Not, I'm saying my individual class. I'm sure there were people in 7th grade at my middle school who achieved it, but no one in my particular class.
You're talking about like classroom?
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm saying. When I say class, I mean like in, you know, 5th period PE, my 7th grade year, whatever. You know, there's like, whatever, 30 of us. No one made it. No one made it. Because doing 10 pull-ups is extremely difficult at any age, really. So I couldn't. Then come to find out, Jeffrey J.
Shout out.
He said in Sunday school that he did. Now, when he was looking through all of his medals and awards and whatnot, he won the governor's.
Yes.
And when he said that, I'm like, well, I think maybe I passed the mayor's physical fitness test. I think I may have achieved that bar.
Oh, yeah.
Although that was in Houston, and the mayor's was probably pretty difficult in Houston. Maybe if I'd gone to a small town, you know.
I think the...
Like Ardmore or something. I'd have definitely gotten the mayor's physical fitness award in Ardmore. But then I come to find out that you...
Yes.
Kenneth H.
Yeah.
Are a not one but 2-time award winner of this.
Yes.
I'm so impressed and so jealous and so disheartened all at the same time. I'm like 50% all three of those.
You know, Mr. White or whatever who signed his mayoral governor award at that time. I don't remember.
Okay.
Mine says Ronald Reagan.
Wow. Do you got his actual signature on there? He signed it.
He did, personally.
Give a picture of him with his arm around you as he's pinning the patch on your shirt.
I do. I got 2 patches.
Do you still have the patches?
I think I do. I started to look last night.
Take a picture and post them online.
I started to look last night.
Post them on the InShane pod. I mean, one of the social media.
It's not a guarantee, but I do have...
Do it.
I do have witness. So, like,
No. I need proof, Ken. I need proof. Your word is not good enough. Jeff thought... He had it, yet he doesn't have proof.
No, I don't think I know.
Well, I need to see
it. I got it 2 years in a row.
I need to see it. That's fine. I need to see it. Okay.
And I don't remember having any trouble with any of the tasks.
That's impressive. That's impressive. I didn't care about anything in school, K through 12. I did not care.
Jeff and I told you this, though. We did not prepare.
Like
we didn't prepare.
I know that. Will you give me a second?
Either you got it or you're not, man.
That's the one thing I wanted to do. The one thing I wanted to do is I wanted to achieve that, and I didn't. And then in high school, I just did all. I think they stopped testing in high school. I don't remember them testing. But I played golf, and then you didn't have. Mm-hmm. You know, most people don't really continue PE as a subject or class throughout high school. So, anyway.
Well, most important.
Wow,
too,
I'm proud of you, Ken.
We grew up in Nazarene Church,
but I want to do it again today. I want each of us to do the different activities and see where we land.
I've let it go too far. It's sagging way too much now.
I think I would crush you right now.
Probably.
That's why I want to do it.
So,
yeah.
But let's do
Jeff.
Some.
Jeff would
shout
crush
out.
Me.
Shout out,
Jeff.
Shout out.
He may not beat you in every event. But he could
I don't
crush
know if he
you.
Could do the 10 pull-ups today, but
he
could do
like,
everything
if you were
else.
In a cage, he could crush you.
I know he could. He could do the 6.5 mile. He could probably do the sit-ups.
Oh, yeah.
He could probably do the shuttle run. We need to go out and test all this on all of us and see where we land at 50.
I think I got some issues that I don't know if I could, medically.
I don't care. You're going to do it anyway. Okay?
So, I think... No, I'm serious. I'm not even joking about this. I think I have an abdominal hernia. So, like, the sit-ups may be a little bit of a problem.
I know. Well, that's going to give me more of an advantage.
We'll see how big the bubble looks when I need
the advantage, and I'm going to take it. I don't want to hear excuses. Can I hear excuses mm-hmm. coming from you over there?
Well, I had this is probably 6 years ago, so I'm 44-ish.
Okay.
And a guy, he was probably 10 to 15 years younger than me.
Okay.
So we're doing like a lesson, and the guy's like, this is how you increase your speed. So, you know, guys talking becomes a challenge.
Okay, sure.
So it's essentially the shuttle run. You have some tennis balls in the center of the court, and you run to different corners, and you got to pick a ball up and take it to the next spot. And kind of.
Okay.
So you got to pick them up, put them down, but you're staying low and sprinting.
Okay.
And everybody timed, and I blew them out of the water. And these are fit guys. And
nice.
I was just like, what's my saying?
Don't let the fat fool you.
Don't let it fool you. Do not.
It's true. It is true. You were.
Yeah, quick.
Surprisingly athletic.
I'm not. I can't run distance, though. Never could.
Wow. That's sad.
I hated
it. That's
sad. I ran cross country in ninth grade, and I hated every single day of it. In fact, I never told anybody this, faking injuries and stuff so I wouldn't have to go to the meet. I did not like it, but I had to get through the semester.
Wow.
So we'd get there and I'd run. I would stop off somewhere, hide out till they were
coming
back. Get a
burger.
Yeah, smoke cigarettes. And they put me, I did go to the mile. I did one meet.
Okay.
And I ran the mile and I got second in the mile. Behind somebody and from our school.
Wow.
This is a 4A school at the time in Texas. Yeah.
Okay, okay.
And so it was a 4A track meet. I got second, and that was the last time I ever ran.
Wow.
I retired at the top.
Went out on a high note.
Yeah.
Pulled a Costanza.
So
I love it. I love it.
I hate running to this day. Distance.
I'm really not a fan of it. I do it, but I don't really enjoy
it.
While we were talking about that, reminiscing about the present physical, come to find out then, you said that in middle school, correct? Mm-hmm. In middle school, you were forced, you were forced
absolutely
to group shower
yep.
with other boys.
Like a bad prison movie.
That blows my mind. Now, number one, listen, I'm uh-huh. going to be straight up with you here. You had to change into the school assigned uniform, which is
yes.
just short. You know, that was the 80s, man. Our shorts were like 3 inches below our waist. They're like mini skirts, okay? Mm-hmm. They were very short, but it was fine. And then you had like a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I did not care, and nor did anyone else. I didn't care how sweaty I got. I don't care, third period, whatever, first period, I don't care. I could have been the sweatiest I've ever been in my life. I'm like, nope, I'll just take those off. I'll put on my clothes, it's all sweaty, and I'm going to go to school. No one ever, let me repeat that, ever. I didn't even know the showers worked. They were there, but I thought they were just props.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no one ever took a shower like during the day. Now come to find out, I was on the football team for a whopping 2 days before I quit. And the football players, now this was after school, but this was like a different group of guys, you know. They would take showers. Not necessarily all of them, but some of them would go in there and shower after football practice. But that, I was like, oh my gosh, people actually shower here. But I would have been, and so would have everybody else in my class, if we had been forced to shower.
Mm-hmm.
As a sixth grader, seventh grader, it would have been emotionally traumatizing. I might have been scarred today from it. Are you okay?
Is that shaped in any okay. way? No, I'm not okay.
You're not? Okay. Now, you went in there and you said, you did just like I thought, I asked you this question literally, and you're like, I just covered my junk the entire time and kept my back to everyone. And you went in there and you splashed a little water on you and you got out as fast as possible and threw on your underwear.
I took a shower, but you're there's some showers.
Okay. Okay.
And then there's not.
Did you have to do this like every day?
Every day, man.
Every day.
I told you we had.
Even if you weren't sweaty,
so
he still
middle,
made you take a shower.
The middle school football coaches taught PE for sixth grade. Everybody in sixth grade.
Do you think the girls were forced
PE.
To shower?
I don't know.
But we need to hear from some girls who
all the
went
boys,
to middle school in the 80s.
All the boys were in one PE class, and it was taught by coaches.
Okay.
And it was like, J.D., get your bike pants off and get in the shower. Like, today, you would go to prison.
Yes, yes. If you, as an adult teacher, told someone else, a young boy, to take his clothes off, you would go to prison. I don't need any other context.
Not that they needed it when we were naked, but I told you, we had naked. We had a uniform. You had to go in Nederland. You had to go to this one store and buy the uniform. It had to be a specific pair of shorts, and it was a white T-shirt that had the. You remember in the early 80s, they had the piping or the three stripes down the sleeve, the short sleeve.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I have some of those like retro shirts.
Yeah.
So
that was the shirt. It had a little bulldog on the front, and you had to have your name on the back.
Ooh, your name.
Absolutely. Oh, so they could call your last name. No, we didn't. Had to be last name.
We didn't have our names.
And
on
you got. No. You got busted pretty hard. You got punished if you forgot your uniform. You brought it to school on Monday. You could not take it home. If you got mud on it, you peed your pants. It's staying in that locker, and you're wearing it every day till Friday. Then you can bring it home. And this is the days before we took Friday off. Hey. I don't know when that became a thing. Schools don't even meet on Friday anymore. And you got late start on Wednesday.
I know.
We went to school all day long. You got naked. You got in a group shower.
Hey.
And you lived with it.
I got three words for you. You ready? They're going to change your life. Are you ready? You ready? You ready? You got to say yes or no. Are you ready?
Yeah, I was fixing a problem.
I know you were. I don't care. Pay attention. Problem. Look at me. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Class action lawsuit.
Oh, yeah.
Boom. You get everybody else, and you say the emotional trauma that was created by the Nederland School District. Is that who it was? The Nederland School District. You're going to take them for everything they're worth today, Ken.
But okay, like if you're going after the coaches, I think they probably had a very short life expectancy.
We'll get Jason,
from that.
The only lawyer I know that really I like and trust is Jason H. Now, that's not up his alley at all, but he'll do it. If there's enough money in it, he'll do it because he's a lawyer. They'll do anything for enough money.
What's his area of practice?
A gas and oil, like leases and stuff.
Oh, man.
I think. I don't know. He explains it to me. I'm not paying attention.
He's not in child predator lawsuits?
No, not that I know of. Not that I know of. But if you have a law degree, I mean, you're allowed to do a pretty wide scope.
I was tougher. I finished the president's.
This is like a boy named Sue type of thing. Type of mentality.
I performed well enough to earn the Presidential Physical Fitness Award.
Not because that was, but you earned that before you were forced to be naked in the shower.
Yes, I did.
So
this may have something to do with it. In our no joking about this. In our elementary, we had a kick a obstacle course. Ooh. It was the size. It was around. Basically, we had a football field type area.
Okay,
and the obstacle course was built around it. So it was on the perimeter.
Okay.
And we're talking like wooden steps and jumbo tractor tires.
Nice.
And you climb up and it looked, if you ever seen like any military movies they're doing basic training,
of course.
That's what like ropes.
You have a wall that you had to climb over and stuff.
Wall,
nice.
Ropes.
Barbed wire that you had to crawl under.
No guns and no barbed wire. But I'm telling you, again, nowadays, that ain't flying.
No, that ain't flying.
Because there was many a kid. I remember like it was yesterday. Mrs. Webb running across the field to pick up Bert, who fell off to one of the obstacles. Now, it had to be, of course, it was in the far corner.
Right.
So she's sprinting across.
Bless her heart.
She's using.
She doesn't get paid enough to do that.
What's the A squared plus B squared equals C squared?
Pythagorean theorem.
So she's doing the Pythagorean.
What did you say?
A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
You said something weird.
Pythagorean theorem.
That's not what you said at first.
So
it's
she's running the Pythagorean theorem.
Okay.
Across
the shortest distance between 2 points.
Yeah, she's splitting the two triangles, trying to get to that corner.
Okay.
And carrying him like he's limp.
Wow. Wow.
That was some rough times, man.
Kudos to you, Mrs. Webb. Kudos to you.
I may have her name wrong.
No one's going to fact check it.
But we started that in kindergarten, running that obstacle course.
Scott, don't fact check
it. It got us in shape for the Presidential Physical Fitness Award.
I know. Maybe I needed some of that tough love that would have gotten me ready.
Man.
I don't know. I needed
to
be pushed.
I wasn't taking naps.
I don't want to talk about this anymore because I'm disappointed in myself. I really am. So I want to move on. We talked earlier and you started telling me something, some kind of motorcycle story. Now, I too have a motorcycle that story that Randa told me my wife this week that's pretty great.
Okay.
And I'm going to kind of brag on her because I think it's pretty cool.
It's a pretty good story.
But I want to hear yours first.
Mine's not that great, but it's something happened yesterday that made me think of like running over all the other experiences I've had in my life.
Okay.
So I'm driving up Lake Hefner Parkway, 5:30, 6 o'clock. It gets to be bumper to bumper at times.
It does.
So it can move 50 miles an hour. It can move 2.
We don't have a rush hour. We have like a rush 25 minutes. Yeah. But that's about when it happens.
So there's this motorcycle in the middle. It's 3 lanes, middle lane. I'm trying to get over to the left 2 lanes because the highway continues on north past the turnpike.
Okay.
And so we're kind of jockeying and he's nailing it. We come to a full stop. He's like standing up, holding the motorcycle up. He walks the motorcycle over to one side of the car. He's like looking around like he's hopped up on crack cocaine.
Whoa.
Like you can tell from his manner.
It's the middle of Hefner Parkway.
North of the turnpike, though. We're getting up to 164th Street.
Oh, got it. Yeah. And when it backs up a long way from the traffic light.
It backs up.
Got it.
So he takes off down the yellow line.
Okay. On the right?
Right side.
Right side. Got it. Basically the shoulder.
And basically winds up, I mean, this is backed up pretty far. It's backed up to 150 at this time.
It's like a mile.
So I finally get up to 164th and I'm in the turn lane.
Okay, left turn lane.
And he's only like 5 cars ahead of me. He was going straight.
Wow. Yeah.
So he got nowhere, but I'm like, and it sort of made me think, why do people on motorcycles, a decent amount, they're always weaving. They're always doing something dangerous.
Yeah.
They're always looking to get ahead and break the rules to get ahead. Kind of like you were talking about. This is kind of my pet peeve of breaking in line at Chick-fil-A.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Now, I'll answer your question because that's what I do. I answer your questions.
I've got an idea, but you don't answer
mine, but I answer yours. You see how that works? People that drive a motorcycle inherently are more comfortable with risk. That's exactly right.
Yes.
Okay. And in their defense, a motorcycle is smaller. It's a much smaller footprint than a car, and therefore it can fit in a lot of places that their car can't.
This is not Indonesia, though.
Okay. I know that.
Okay.
I know.
Let me just drive everywhere
I'm
with
tell
no
you
rules.
A quick story, and then we'll transition. So in California,
yes,
you may not know this.
It's legal.
It
I know
is,
it's legal to go between
insane,
cars.
Insane.
I know.
When we drove out there,
and
so we're doing.
It's got a name. I forgot what it's called.
We're doing like 50, and no joke.
Yeah.
They will fly between you and the car next to you in between the lanes like 100 miles an hour. They'll fly.
Oh
down.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, I'm like, people change lanes all the time. There have got to be people dying left and right in motorcycle accidents. Not once, but multiple times that happened. I'm like, that is so unbelievably
I've
dangerous.
I've seen videos.
But I think these people that do that, they, you know, it's death wish is strong. It's more of like they love the high of it, of the danger of it.
Hey,
but
Scott,
it's going to bite you eventually.
Scott, I'm going to need you to look up. There's a term for that. I'm listening to a podcast probably a year and a half ago. Who's the guy that played Zach on Saved by the Bell? And he also was on NYPD Blue, your wife's favorite show.
I know. I don't know his name.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know him. I don't know his name. I don't remember his name.
I call him Zach.
It's fine.
Anyway,
Zach.
But even when he was younger, before he started filming Saved by the Bell, he was into motorcycles and motocross, and he still is.
Wow.
And he talks about like when he was with NYPD Blue, he wasn't supposed to be riding motorcycles. It's in his contract, but he did anyway.
Ooh.
And he talks about living in California and that, you know, he does. I don't think he drives 100 miles an hour, but he does drive it in between the cars on the
highways.
Yeah, I was going to call it the checkered line, but it's not. What do we call that? Space line?
Yeah.
The white line.
Passing indicator line. I don't know.
I think those are called like Carrollton stripes or something.
I don't know.
That's the technical. Scott looked at
Shout
it too.
Out.
So, Randa, this was like
Shout
2
out.
Days ago.
Yeah.
Okay. She was coming home from work and it was where it was is pretty much irrelevant. Just think of a 4-lane road and, you know, 2 lanes going the direction she was going. And she just started moving at a light and she's a few cars back and they just started moving. And a motorcycle flies right between her and the car next to her, like really fast, like through the light.
Like splitting the...
Then it scared her. You know, it's like, boom. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, it scared her. And she's just, she is just like kind of mad and furious. Well, come to find out then, she gets up and then at the next light, he's stopped. And then she stops and she's right next to him. She rolls her window down.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And she like honks the horn. And she's motioning at him, you know, and he turns and he lifts his visor up or whatever. And she said, she full on yelled at him, like, what are you doing? That is extremely dangerous. That's illegal. You shouldn't do that. This isn't California, Bob. Like, she told me, she's like, I was yelling because I was so mad. And it was a young guy. And he said, to his credit, he's just like, oh, I'm sorry. You're like, he realized, he was yeah. like, oh, you know, I didn't realize it was affecting you that way. She was saying, that's so dangerous that, you know, it was more like a mother instinct of saying, you're someone's child, and if my child was out here taking that kind of risk, being that stupid with their life, I would sit them down and yell at them. That's what I'm going to do with you. And she's kept yelling at him until the light changed. But, you know, in hindsight, I mean, we both agree that, like, you shouldn't do that because you never know when someone has a gun. Like, oh, really? Okay, I'm going to pull out a gun and shoot you, you know? It, you never know. Now, she got pretty fortunate in the it was a young man, and he wasn't disrespectful, and he's like, I am sorry. Well, I didn't.
The answer to the question is, though, because I really know the answer.
Okay.
The answer is they do that because they can.
Yeah. Well, that's part of it. I've already told you the answer. We've discussed the answer.
You've got too much, like, for you that have not ridden a motorcycle.
Yes.
It's an extreme amount of power at your fingertips.
It is.
And it's intoxicating.
Yeah, it is intoxicating, sure.
I've treated, over the years, this isn't the joking part, but I've treated multiple people that have been injured in motorcycle wrecks, injured in four-wheeler accidents, a lot of teenagers, young adults, usually males between 16 and 22-ish, some really bad cases. And it's just because it's, you know, if you're riding a four-wheeler, it don't matter if you're 2 or 102. You're going to get kind of bored going slow, and you're going to open it up.
Sure.
It's like, I call it the, if you've ever driven a boat pulling somebody with the on an inner tube.
Yeah.
You're going to get bored with it after. You're pulling them, and you're going slow. You're like, the boat's either going slow or your jet ski's going too slow pulling them.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if it's your grandma sitting on the inner tube. You're going to open it up and flip them off.
You go flip granny.
Yeah. So
onto the shore.
It's just, it's too intoxicating. You can't avoid it. So you're gonna hit it. Now, worst story I've ever had with that. And
don't bring us down.
This is 100% true story.
I don't know if I want to hear it then.
So me and my business partner back when I was living in Texas, John.
Shout out.
Are we doing last names? No, we're not.
You are having a stroke or something with these last names.
So he was the college pastor at his church.
Okay.
So he worked a lot with the college kids.
I know what both of those words mean.
I'm doing youth work at our church. Anyway, but my church was pretty close to his house, and we pull out on Jimmy Johnson Boulevard. Shout out the Jimmy Johnson from the Cowboys.
Of course it is.
And OSU.
Okay.
So you pull out on Jimmy Johnson Boulevard, and it's a nice four-lane road that doesn't have a lot of traffic.
Okay.
Very nice road.
Okay.
So he had this kid who's in his youth group, college group.
Okay.
And he's telling me he just got this motorcycle.
Okay.
So, like, the next day was Wednesday night. I'm leaving church.
Okay.
And I see the kid going up and down Jimmy Johnson doing wheelies. It was a Kawasaki crotch rocket.
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So he's doing wheelies.
Okay. Wheelies.
No helmet. Next day, dead.
Yep. Yep.
Dead.
Yep.
It was pretty tragic because I didn't know him, but you know, this is my business partner.
Yeah.
And he was pretty close to the kid, and it's devastating.
It's
and it was just pure 20-year-old stupidity.
You do have, there are plenty of people, it cracks me up because here in Oklahoma, you don't have to wear a helmet, which is insane. You got to wear a seatbelt in a car.
You got to wear eye protection.
You do have to wear, but that could be sunglasses, Ken.
Okay. I think there's some biological reasons. Do you disagree? Why especially young males act stupid?
Yes, I'm telling you. If you'd let me finish, okay, I will tell you. it is this sense of invincibility, right? Like I had it when I was young before, but like I've talked about, before I was in an accident with a car, I felt invincible. I felt like it's sure. impossible. In theory, other cars can hit me, but it's never happened, so it probably won't ever happen. No. So it's this, it's just this sense of invincibility. And like, I don't want to wear a helmet because it's uncomfortable, and that'll never happen to me, right? It's the stupidity of it'll never happen to me. And yeah, and that's what, and guess what? It takes one time to hit your head on the pavement without a helmet to kill you. That's how many times it takes. Not multiple. One good time.
You can.
That's it. Your life is over. Now, you got a helmet on. You might break a lot of bones, but typically you don't die with a helmet on. Typically.
You can, but.
I said typically, Ken. I don't know if you're not listening.
It's probably more common than people think, though, is my point.
All right, listen. I'm going to lift this back up. I got two of my favorite motorcycle stories. They're very short. Okay, may I?
Okay.
Okay, because we need to lift us out of this funk that you put us in. That sad story. Number one, but you know both of these very well. So in college, we as I think this was our freshman year.
My kids don't even know this.
Oh, okay. I think this was our freshman year.
It was
that we bought.
Yes. Okay.
So we, me, you, who else was in the little group?
Nobody.
No, there were more than just me and you.
No, it was not.
You sure Jeff wasn't in there?
Nope.
Or Jason?
Nope.
No, it was just me and you.
Just me and you. And me and you went to look at it.
No, I know. I know. Hang on. I'm telling the story. So I don't even know how we found it. Maybe in the newspaper or something.
Back
I think
then,
that's
it
how
was,
you did it.
It was the Auto Trader.
Yeah, maybe it was.
Auto Trader type magazine.
I remember vividly. So it was like an enduro motorcycle, which is like a dirt bike, but street legal dirt bike.
Dirt bike with lights and
it's a Honda
license plate.
It was only listed at $900. I remember this day. No, maybe it's like $1,200. Hang on.
Okay.
I think it was like $1,200. And so we go look at it. Now the guy had trouble getting it started, but once he got it started, it ran great, and we were both like, "Oh yeah, this is pretty great." So Ken, this is true, Ken. This is all you. I don't know if that's all we brought or just what, but we had $900, all $100 bills.
Okay.
Ken, you remember this, right?
Yes, I do.
He takes the money out. He fans it out like he's holding like cards, like a hand of cards. And he literally, I'm not kidding people when I say this, literally waves it under the guy's nose, like hitting his face with the bills.
I didn't hit his face.
I'm not. No, you were that close.
I was close.
You were that close. And the guy... It worked. He smiled. He laughed about it, and he took the offer. And bada bing, we had a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Now we didn't. It was so hard to get started, and then it just
we rode it for like a day.
I bought you out, or my dad bought you out. Yeah, we rode it for like a day, and they're like, it was enough of that. And I took it to the lake house, and you know, doesn't matter.
Did you ever figure out what was wrong? I mean,
the stator coil needed to be replaced, and I just never mess with it, and so
I'd love to have that back. Now.
I would too.
As an adult,
we'd
still probably wear it.
A
right
cousin
at one
of
time.
Mine really wanted it, and I promised it to him, but then it didn't work out. And then my friend Carl Stone,
yeah,
he wound up with it. He did some horse trading. He wound up with it because I kind of felt like we owed it to him because he let my dad store so many of his cars there. It doesn't matter. Second story. This was maybe our sophomore year. I'm not sure what year. Jason S.
Shout out. My cousin.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Ken's roommate. He was part of...
I wasn't there.
Oh, you weren't there?
No.
Okay.
That was the year I was gone.
What year was that? Was that second or third year?
That's sophomore year.
That was sophomore year. So it was sophomore year.
I think.
So Jason S.
Shout out.
He's part of our group, and he's got more money than brains. There's no
At
doubt
that
about
time,
that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he had like... money coming in from the government. Doesn't matter the reasons, but he had a lot of money, a lot of disposable income, and just wasn't smart with it, which made him a great friend to hang around with because he had this Eddie Bauer Expedition Explorer package that was like all leather, and we were just it when we rode in that thing. We were just like the best. And he always bought, you know, expensive toys like that I got to partake in. It was pretty great. So sophomore year, he... goes out and buys himself a really nice street bike. Now, it wasn't a crotch rocket.
No, but it was faster.
It was fast. It. I don't know if it was 1,000cc or just what, but it was like a big street Yamaha.
Yeah.
I want to say. It was a nice bike. It was really nice.
They call it a Blackhawk or something?
Yeah. It was black. I remember that. It had like a Blackhawk.
It was a good looking bike.
No, it really was. So no joke, this is like the first day that he's got it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I remember to this day, we live in the dorm, so he just has to park it, you know, at the
snowboard parking lot. They did have motorcycle. They had motorcycle parking.
They did. And I remember we were in the back parking lot of Snowbarger, and I came out there to see him, to see the bike, and he's shining it up and everything. And he was going to let me drive it, and maybe Brian drive it too. I don't remember. And I see him, and he's like armor-alling the tires.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He's armor-alling the entire tire.
Yeah, y'all didn't. Okay, y'all didn't catch that either, though.
No. Stop. Whoa. He's doing it.
Yeah.
And I told him right then and there. Like, what I'm saying is, he armor-alled the sides and the tread and the sides, the whole tire. Okay.
Oh yeah.
I told him. I said, "Hey, dude, I don't think you're supposed to armor-all the tread. I mean." That's not, you just do it the side.
I wouldn't even do the side of a motorcycle.
No, I wouldn't either, actually. But in a car, you pretty much can only do the side, okay?
Yeah.
But I'm like, the tread doesn't need to be slippery. It can't be slippery. It needs to be nothing on there that's slippery because it holds the pavement. You understand that, right? And so it was either me or Brian, he was going to drive. And I told him that. And he's like, "Oh, huh. Okay. Well, I'll drive it first, you know, just to make sure or whatever." I was like, "Okay, cool. So I'm standing at the rear entrance of Snowbarger.
Uh-huh.
He's pulling out. He's not even 50 yards away, maybe 40 yards, something like that. To the end of the parking lot, he's about to turn right on Northwest 42nd, right there by Chapman. And I can see him, and he makes the turn. He's going really slow, and I'm looking at him, and whoop, down he goes, man.
Yeah, it just went out from under.
He lays it right on its side, going like 2 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And I run over there, you know. Thankfully, he's okay. Scratch the bike up because motorcycles aren't made to go on their side like that, you know. Scratch the tank. And I'm like, "Dude, that's why you don't do that."
Yeah.
Now, he learned that lesson the hard way.
Now,
and I don't remember what he did to get it off before we rode it again. But I did ride it a couple of times after that. I drove it, and it was very fast. But I remember thinking, this is too fast for me. Because I took it out on 39th. And I opened it up, dude. And I was like, probably going like 100.
Like near Overholser?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I even at that age, I remember thinking, I can't do this. This is dumb. I need to stop and I need to get rid of it. I need to not have a motorcycle. My dad actually lost his favorite first cousin in a motorcycle accident at a pretty young age. I think he was like mid-30s. And it really devastated my dad. And he always told me, he's like, "You know, I don't ride motorcycles for that reason." And then we got that one. And then I kind of felt bad about it. So I never really, I'm like, "You know what? I'm going to kind of respect that." And I don't need to ride them. I don't need it. They're dangerous.
Yeah. Now he came home for a holiday.
Oh, Jason.
Shout out.
Yeah. Okay. He got hurt. It wasn't bad, but I'm talking like a road rash on his leg that was pretty big.
He was very embarrassed, as you can imagine. And so I think he was definitely playing off any injuries that he had. He's like, "Oh, I'm fine. You know,
he came home, and I don't even know this I don't know this story.
Okay.
And we roomated, but freshman year, and then
roommated
when I came
that's a
back.
Verb.
Yeah. And so I remember sitting around my mom, his mom, our moms are sisters, and rest in peace, Aunt Mary. She's passed away now. Aww. But Jason flat out lied. He said, so I'm like, "Dude, what happened to your leg?"
Okay. Uh-huh.
He said he hit it on a sprinkler head playing football.
No, sir. No, sir.
Busted, Jason.
Yep. Shout out.
Busted.
I remember yesterday. We're sitting around the table. Then, I found out
it's
the story
funny
later.
Because there was something in the way where I could only see like the top half of him.
Yeah.
So basically, I see him turning, and then I don't see him anymore. You know, whoop, and then I ran over there, and I mean, I was laughing at first, and then I'd run over there, and I got to him, I was done laughing.
And again, if
because
you
it was like, "Dude, are you okay?" I mean, the bike's very heavy. Took us quite a bit of strength to get the bike up.
If you haven't ridden a motorcycle, especially his, 1000cc.
Oh yeah.
It's heavy.
It ain't like picking a bike off the ground, man. It's
may not even can do it with one person.
No. It took us both, and he was just very embarrassed, but he was okay. but learned his lesson.
How much damage? I don't remember the bite.
He took it for that.
I don't remember the bite being damaged when I saw it the next year.
I think it was just a little scratched. I don't remember.
Did he fix it?
If it was the, he might have. It was very little, very minor. Yeah. Like I said, he was doing like 2 miles an hour. He just kind of fell over, you know, that type of thing. This is a foop. Don't armor all the entire tire if you own a motorcycle, just for future reference, people. That's your top tip of the day. Hey, Ken, look at the time. I want to move on to what we're going to talk about because Ken doesn't want to talk about this.
Oh, that's fine.
Oh, good. Okay.
But I have some more stories if you just want to
No, no, no. I want to talk about my topic. Okay.
Okay.
Because I've been thinking about this a little bit lately, so I wanted to talk about it. As I said at the end of last week's episode about I recently reconnected with a good friend of mine, Chris T.
Shout out.
Okay.
Hadn't talked to him in forever, but we were pretty good friends back in the day. He was 2 years younger than me. Well, I guess he still is. Time kind of doesn't change.
I was thinking you were talking about the older brother.
No, no, that's Mike.
Shout out.
Yeah.
That's Mike.
Shout out.
Mike and I were good friends at first, and then Mike went on to school, and then Chris and I became close because he was 2 years younger because he was still in the youth group. And
it's called grooming. Chris is,
shout out.
Yeah, exactly. I groomed him. I had a lot of relationships like that because I was Jerome J. I was his friend first, then I switched to Jeff.
Shout out.
So Jerome and Alan groomed you.
Yes.
And taught you the way.
That's right. That's right.
And then you had to turn around and groom other.
I don't really like you using the term groom, but I mean, it's not completely inaccurate. So this was my freshman year of college. I went back home to Houston and was going to mow yards because still the greatest job ever as far as making the most money with. And I still had, I guess, my clients that I had from the previous year. I don't remember the details there, but Chris, it worked out where Chris and I worked together. And we just had a blast all summer, you know. So the two of us in my dad's old truck that did not have air conditioning in the middle of Houston summer, humid, 100 degrees, 100% humidity. But we still had a blast. We still had a blast. And I literally looked this up because I remember so vividly. So that was 1992.
Okay.
It was a big deal in Texas. So Texas, prior to 92, you really had no forms of gambling. I had been to Las Vegas when I was 18. I went to Las Vegas, and that was my first taste ever.
Really?
Of
I didn't know
gambling.
That.
Gambling. Yes.
Who'd you go with?
My mom and my sister. Some friends of hers lived in Las Vegas, and they lived in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay.
And so we drove out to see them, and then we just drove up to the Hoover Dam and then Las Vegas, and then we came back to Phoenix and
went
back home that way. And it was funny because we would go to casinos, and I was 18, but you have to be 21. And Angel
Shout
and
out.
I—
You sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'll tell you why if you give me a second.
Okay.
So we would go into casinos. You can go into a casino. You as a kid, you can walk through casinos.
It's dumb. They have a path that you're supposed to stay on.
Yes, but you know, no one's really monitoring it. So inevitably, Angel and I, our plan was just to— that was my younger sister. She's only 1 year. She's not even a full year younger than me. And so we both look— she's 17, I'm 18. We both look that age. And we would just go and sit on slot machines, and then until they kicked us off. And inevitably, someone would come, and they weren't rude or be like, "Oh, can I see some identification?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm 18." They're like, "Oh, dude, you got to get out of here." You know, it's like, "All right, cool." And this one time, we're like right by each other, and the guy tells her to get off, and he doesn't say a word to me, and she didn't rat me out. So kudos, Angel. Appreciate
Shout
that.
Out.
But anyway, Texas did not have any form of gambling. No legalized gambling in Texas.
Okay.
So then, what's the first thing that comes along, Ken? I'm sure you remember.
The lottery.
That's exactly right. The Texas lottery was like this huge
debate.
Oh, my goodness, was it enormous. It was like everybody was talking about it because it was just, you have so many people who don't want any form of gambling, but then so many people were like, oh, the schools need it, blah, 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 blah. And so
that was 92?
It was 1992. Okay. Yeah. So they had just introduced the Texas lottery in 1992, I think in May, like just before the summer. So Chris and it just kind of became our little ritual. You know, when we're out mowing, we would inevitably stop by some convenience store, either to refill the gas cans or just to get a drink or whatever. And we would buy like a $1. Now, we always just played the scratchers, you know, just like a $1 scratch off. This is not a joke. If you go look at the odds of winning those, it's usually like 1 in 5 or something like that. And when I say winning, I mean you might buy a $5 scratcher and win $2. That's a net loss of $3, but technically that's a winner. Okay, but that's what they say. As far as winning money goes, your odds are typically on the scratchers pretty low, like 1 in 5. I mean, good as in not like 1 in 1,000,000, but 1 in 5. Decent chance. We probably, I'm not kidding. I'm dead serious. Now, it may not, my memory's a little cloudy because it was over 30 years ago. It felt like every time, Chris would win and I would lose. And it got to the point where it was such a joke. I was like, okay, we're going to buy them and then we're going to switch and then we're going to see what happens. And then inevitably, even when we switched, he would win and I would lose. And I'm like, I don't understand the forces that are going on. So that was really my first taste of gambling. And I hated it because I lost all the time. And I just remember thinking, this sucks. Gambling sucks because I lose all the time.
Well, you're consumed with cost and money and practicality, and you know you're wired that way. Anyway,
of course. No, but listen, I do kind of have an addictive personality, and I, even at a young age, I could see myself being addicted to gambling because there is a certain high in it. There's an excitement, and I get it. But the negative of a loss outweighs the positive of a win for me, and that's what keeps me grounded, and that's what keeps me. Definitely the ability to just be a casual gambler.
Right.
It's not like I go to the casino every weekend because now here we are in Oklahoma, okay? And we have casinos all over the place, do we not? I don't know how many the state of Oklahoma is. I bet we have at least 30 casinos in Oklahoma, don't you think? Maybe 40, 50? I don't know.
I would say, I mean, at least 30.
Yeah, because there are a lot of little ones in little rural areas that you don't even know about.
I mean, it's not much more than 30, but I could be wrong. I haven't been up east.
There are handfuls of big ones.
Or out east.
You know, Windstar, Northeast. Lucky Star, Grand Casino. That's one, that's quickly rising the charts on one of my favorites. Hard Rock.
Tulsa.
Yes, yeah. That's a really nice casino.
Windstar down in the Texas border.
Yes, I said.
They
said
say that's the biggest one in the world now.
Like land area wise, it's once again, it's like saying Oklahoma's biggest city. Whatever, man. You know,
square miles pretty big.
Have you been to Las Vegas?
Yes, one time.
How old were you?
Pretty old.
Okay, I've been twice now. I don't know. In my lifetime.
When did you go a second time?
Randy and I went 1 year. For our anniversary, maybe? Yeah, it was for our anniversary.
I don't remember this.
This must have been... Well, I don't tell you everything. We went. I don't know what to tell you.
I would know if you went now. But maybe it was the time I was probably
it could have been in Texas. It could have been like our five-year reunion or something.
I was living in Texas.
And that would have been 20 years ago. So it could have been 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I will say this. Okay, I'm going to say this. It is true. Las Vegas is Sin City. Right. There's no question.
Yeah. Now,
about
when
that.
You went and I went, we had different experiences, but keep going.
Okay. It's funny because after I went, and this was when I was 18. So this was like 1991. It was still Sin City, but it was trying to remake its image into more of a family oriented town.
Okay.
And that failed very quickly. And then they completely shifted gears and said, forget this. We're going to go completely the opposite way. You know, and a few years after, then they started a what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, because they're like, let's just buy into this complete debauchery of Las Vegas. Now, it's Sin City. To this day, I'll agree with that. There are so many sinful things that it encourages sinful acts. Okay, right? Would you agree with that?
I guess, yeah.
Okay, but here's something I'm going to say that's kind of a byproduct that's pretty cool out of that is, yes, you have a lot of money that people give away. There's a lot of sin and there's a lot of negative associated with it. With a pretty cool byproduct that anybody can enjoy is what that revenue then generates in that the architecture of those casinos is something to see. Las Vegas is something to see. It is a spectacle. The different casinos, the exterior, the interior, the shows, the fountains, the you name it, it's it's unlike any other place in the world, Ken. And there is something special about that. It's just kind of sad that it's built on the back of people losing a lot of money.
How many shows have you seen in Vegas?
Just like a couple. I've never seen like a really big show.
We didn't go to any.
We went to some smaller shows. Just
we went at the beginning of COVID with my brother.
Okay.
There was a lot of stuff closed down.
No, I know. It's a bad time.
It was fairly clean. Now, this was the one thing. I think recreational marijuana is legal.
Okay.
And you cannot step outside without just being bombarded. It's almost to a point it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that bad?
I hear
but
you.
But we stayed I think in the one casino on the strip that was non-smoking, so we were pretty.
Wow, nice.
We did it pretty. If you can do it Nazarene, that's the way we did it. And we rented a cabana at the pool one day.
Oh, nice.
It was nice.
Nice.
Yeah, I enjoyed the trip.
Listen, I like to go to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I'll admit that right now. There's a lot I don't like about Las Vegas, but being there twice, I can avoid some of that stuff. You don't want to walk up and down the strip. Number one, it's usually super hot. It's definitely in the summer.
It was hot.
Number two, you're accosted with people either selling timeshares or advertisements for prostitution.
See, I think they've cut down on a lot of that.
Colby went very recently. He said they were hit pretty frequently with it.
Maybe they were over near Fremont.
Well, they were.
Okay.
They were, but I'm just saying they still have it. It's still Sin City.
Because
it's still Sin City.
Now, I went at the beginning of COVID. We had none of that.
Okay.
And I'm over near the MGM and the big ones.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know where the strip clubs are.
Drive or Uber to the individual casinos that you want to stay at.
No. My brother, he's been there a bunch. He knew where to go and how to get there.
Okay. Good for him.
Now, you did take the, we went over to near Fremont and we did Uber over there.
Yeah. It's a good. From the strip to Fremont, it's a good distance.
And if you don't know what we're saying, Fremont was kind of the original old strip.
Well, and I like Fremont a lot because it's a closed off street that's covered. It's got this awesome awning that's super high that they project
and it's cheap stuff on. Everything's cheaper.
No, it is. That's where you go to have your dollar blackjack tables and stuff like that. They don't have those on the strip.
They don't even have five. No. They don't even have $5.
Wow.
No, I didn't play any
for that reason.
Yeah, it's bad.
All right, listen, we only got a few minutes here, and I want to get so gambling itself. That's what I want to just briefly discuss. If you have been to an Oklahoma casino, have you been in an Oklahoma casino, Ken? Okay. Neither you nor I frequent them. Would you agree with that? Okay, we've been a handful of times, and I've enjoyed it. Inevitably. It's 90% full of people sitting at the slot machines who, frankly, look haggard is the word I'm going to use. Kind of beaten up by life. Typically, these are older people. Typically look like maybe there's some health issues going on. It looks like people who don't have a lot in life. And when I say a lot in life, I mean what most of us would consider a lot in life, like health, wealth, a lot of friends, stuff like that. It's sad, right? I mean, tell me if I'm not painting an accurate picture. You disagree?
I mean,
with me
you
right
saying
now.
They don't have friends? That maybe overstep in there. They look like to me.
Okay,
it's 65 plus.
A lot of them, yeah.
And you must know what you're doing with the cigarette.
A lot of them smoke. Yep. Yeah.
Or did.
It just looks
like... I call it road hard, put up wet.
And here's the thing. If it brings them a little bit of joy, what's wrong with that? Right now you could make an argument, right, that they are there gambling away their government assistance check or whatever, and maybe that's true for some of them. I don't doubt that. That obviously happens. I don't know what percentage that's the case, but these aren't wealthy people. But I'm like, hey, if they want to throw a few hundred at the casino on a Friday night because it makes them happy, I don't have a problem with that, Ken. And I don't see anything that the casino owner is doing wrong. I don't. The odds are very clearly stated on all of these games. You know what the odds are. But you think I'm special, right? I'm the one that's going to beat those odds. I'm the one that's going to win the $100,000, you know?
No, I don't think that.
Well, a lot of people think that.
Do they?
Or they're just living for the high. So the high of the win, unlike me, they dismiss quickly the negative of the loss.
Well, there's,
but the high of the win is much more powerful.
You're dealing
it's
a with
more
a
of a
lot
draw
of people
them.
with limitations, maybe physically.
Yes.
And it is a way to kind of get your juices flowing.
It is. It is.
So it's a non-physical way.
It is. So I've kind of changed my tune as far as I don't go and then look at these as just sad people wasting their lives. I look at it more of if they enjoy this activity, then who's to say that this is not helpful to their life in general, right? I think it brings them, if it brings them a little bit of joy, then so be it. Now, you can argue all day about the financial piece of it and what it's doing to their life financially, but I'm going to try to cut that out and not take that into account because I don't know. I can make assumptions based on how they look, but those are purely assumptions. Yeah. I don't know. And therefore, I'm going to assume that they're gambling responsibly and more often than not, they're going to lose, but they're having a good time because they keep coming back. So what's wrong with that?
Well, I'm guaranteeing you, if you went on a family a four vacation to Disney, you spent more money than that person's going to spend in a year.
100%.
So 100%. I think it's means and moderation.
Yes,
and
yes.
Now, the problem is, just like with a lot of things in life, you know, you have the person or two people or 10 people that can have one glass of wine.
That's
once,
right.
Once a month.
That's
or
right.
Or two times a year.
Exactly.
Or even once a week.
That's
or
right.
Whatever.
That's right.
And they don't have a problem.
That's right.
And then you have the person that has a problem, whether they have one or whether they have 20 or whatever, it's going to lead to something bad.
Right.
But that problem is always there.
Yes. No. I
so
agree.
I look
but,
at things
but that's
in life
where,
that way, too.
That's where you yourself have to admit if you potentially might have that kind of problem. And then be real to yourself. And then along those lines, you have to, if you see it in a friend, you need to speak up and say, hey, maybe that's not a good idea. Just like if you thought they had a problem with drinking, you know, I have had people in my life before where I've literally said something about, I think you have a problem in this area. And and usually, if I don't think they do enough about it, then I've done even more. And I've said even more because that's my job as a friend to say, I think you have a problem. It's not getting any better. It's going to get worse. And I'm going to keep hounding you. And I'm not a good friend unless I continue to hound you about it. So to your point, some people might struggle with gambling. And if that were the case, I don't care how good of friends we were. Like, say you had a problem. I certainly would never invite you to a casino. Hey, Ken, let's go gambling tonight or whatever, right? And you vice versa, right? If you thought I had a problem, you should never do that to me. But both of us, we've been a handful of times, and we pretty much just go on special occasions. We always bet in moderation. I never bring a lot of money, and I never lose a lot of money.
Yeah,
you know. So, but it's fun to hang out with my friends and take a few chances here and there. But I'll say this: I've literally thought about this. I'm like, you know, if I'm going like every week or so, kind of by myself behind y'all's back.
Yeah,
that would be a sign of a problem. I've thought about that sometimes. I'm like, ooh, I really enjoyed playing that game. I'd like to go play it again. I'm like, nope, we're not. We're going to wait until our friends go, and you can play it then, Shane, if you want. But otherwise, you ain't doing it.
Yeah, we're not taking the house mortgage and trying to flip it and
of course
make a bundle.
Of course not.
It's almost more like, I'm taking $20 to the arcade and putting some quarters in Asteroids.
Yes, exactly. Now, I love it.
Maybe some of the listeners don't even know what that is.
Probably not. Listen, if you're going to be the type of person to say gambling is wrong, period, establishments that encourage gambling like casinos are wrong, blah, 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 right? If you're going to be that type of person, we're going to flat disagree, and I'll tell you why, okay? Because they are not tricking anyone. They are not. Like I've said, the odds are very clear. Everyone knows the odds. You can go Google any game you want and say, what are the odds of this game, of winning this? And they will flat out tell you. So there's no excuse. This isn't a bait and switch. People know what they're getting into. These are adults. You have to be an adult. Legally, you have to be an adult to gamble. Right. Period. That's why we don't let kids do it, because kids may not know what they're doing. These are adults. They're able to make adult decisions, and if that's how they want to spend their money, that is their right. If they have a problem with it and they go overboard, it is not the establishment, it is not the owner that's enabling them. I refuse to believe that. I don't believe they're being enabled, but they have a problem, and that's where I would hope they would have friends, loved ones in their life who would speak up and say, hey, you have a problem. I don't. I go every once in a while, but it's not a problem for me. It's a problem for you, so you don't need to go. So I'm not going to agree with you if you just make a blanket statement saying that gambling is wrong, because gambling at the end of the day is just kind of it's a game, and it could be a fun game just like other games. And just because there's money in it doesn't mean it's really any different than any other game. So I just don't believe that argument. I think it's gotten a bad reputation over the years, and then it's just gotten that stigma. But I'm here to tell you,
well, I think it's somewhat
it's
earned.
Not to me, it's not inherently evil either. I'm not going to say that. I'm not
but
willing to go there.
But I think if you're honest, you would have to say that it earned its reputation, because are a lot of stories.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But yeah, in today's world,
it doesn't
world,
mean you have a problem.
In today's world,
yeah,
it's and every all casinos are regulated. All of this stuff that's legal is very, very, very regulated. So to me, it's fair in that it's a game with stated odds, and you know the all the parameters going into the game. You can choose not to play the game. You don't have to play it. And if you continue to play it when you shouldn't, that's on you as an adult.
Yeah, you don't. Nobody's picking you up and
absolutely,
making you go.
Absolutely, right. So now, and I will say this, that there are times I'll go play cards with friends of mine.
Right, you have a little poker game.
I got two different groups now. I'm really proud. One of them, my high school buddies back in Houston, and we only get together like once a year to do that. But another friend of mine, Curtis R.
Shout out.
Friend of the podcast. He's been hosting something about every couple months, and it's just a handful of us. Literally, we might have six. And we play with chips, but they're like quarters, dimes and nickels and quarters. Now, every once in a while, like this last time, there's a joker that came out. When I say joker, I just mean this other guy that I didn't know. And he was bumping up the games. Instead of like a $3 pot, it was like a $30 pot. And every time I'm just like, I would fold and I would say, this isn't fun. That's pure gambling. I'm here to have fun with my friends. I'm not going to feel good if I take $30 from my friend Curtis R. Okay? Because he's a slave to the
I'm
man.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay.
That's not what bothers you.
Go ahead. What bothers me then?
What bothers you is the competitive disparity, because it's like if you shot a 95 at golf or averaged it, and then you played with somebody that shot a 70.
Okay.
And they're just smoking you and making you look bad. That's what bothered you.
No.
Because this guy apparently knew what he was doing.
No, he really didn't. He wasn't that
good.
Oh, well,
then he's an idiot.
He was just throwing money around.
Then he's an idiot.
But even if I thought I would win, it's not.
He didn't. He wasn't buying. There's some strategy. He wasn't buying the pot.
Listen, no, not necessarily.
Okay, well
no.
Then he's just
but
a
listen
ding-dong.
To me. Listen to me for a second.
Sorry, you may know this guy.
If this was me against strangers, then it's really just about the money. That's fine. This is me with some of my really good friends. I don't want to take a lot of money from my really good friends. Now, I'd love to win like $5 off them. Over the course of a 5-hour night, I would love to do that, and then rub the $5 in their nose at the end of it, okay? Because $5 ain't gonna amount to nothing for them, and it doesn't mean anything to me other than it's a way of keeping score,
right?
And it has a little bit of skin in the game to make it a little more interesting.
Sure.
So it's a lot of fun to me when the stakes are very low. When it gets high, then it's just more about the gambling, and I don't enjoy the gambling part of it. I enjoy playing a game with my friends. Now, at a casino, it is a little different because I'm not playing against my friends. I'm literally playing against the casino. So it is a little more about money in that situation. But I know that it's about money. I know that these aren't my friends. I'm not going to feel bad if I take more of their money, because they're going to be fine financially. Even if I win, I'm not worried about them. They're going to make their money. So it's a different situation. And so in everything else where I like gamble, and I'm using air quotes, where maybe you go in $10 on a March Madness bracket or whatever. Right. To me, that's not really gambling. It's playing a game with your friends, and you're putting a little bit of skin in it to make it interesting. That's not the same as going and dropping $500 at a random casino one night.
Sure.
To me, they aren't the same at all. But anyway, you can be wrong, Ken. It's okay.
Sure.
It's America. All right. Hey, that's it. I'm off. Forget it. I'm done. But I'm not. When I was young, I was just told gambling is wrong, blah, blah, blah. And I've gotten older, and I'm like, you know what? Gambling is just like anything else, for that matter. If it's done in moderation, it's not inherently evil. It's just not. And it could be a fun tool to bring joy to certain people, but it has an edge to it as well, and it can cut some people very deeply too. But that goes for a lot of different things in society. So I'm not going to run into the ground just because it has that edge. And there you go. Any final thoughts, Ken?
Hasta la vista, baby.
You're falling asleep over there. You don't care about this. See, that's why you needed some more caffeine. Yeah, your energy's faded. Tired.
Started off hot.
I know. And you just... That's because your blood sugar's low and you don't have enough caffeine.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I want you to stop this diet right now. Stop it. I don't want to be your friend through a diet. I don't want to be your friend through a diet.
I'm still here, man. You can't.
You know what? That's very selfish on your part to do that to me. Think about that, Ken, for 1 minute. All right. Hey.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the audio quality of this one, considering we're back in the studio.
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you forcing me to be out and about the past couple of episodes. And I don't like it because when I'm listening to my car, the quality isn't nearly as good as when we sit in the studio.
No, but I've compared our stuff. I'm going to brag on us. I've compared our stuff to some other podcasts. And even on the go or in the studio, ours is better.
I hear quality. You. I understand that. And I don't disagree with you. But I like it better when we're in the studio because... I can hear it better when I'm listening in my car, period. And I'm sure other people, it's the same. I can't stand listening to a podcast, and it's very hard to pick up the syllables, or there's a lot of background noise, or whatever the case is. I'm like, you didn't need to launch this. You could have just erased it and saved us all a bunch of time. But anyway, all right, listen, hope you enjoyed it. Hit us up on the social medias and whatnot. If you have any thoughts about gambling, you want to prove me wrong, prove me right, do whatever. You and I didn't argue too much, Ken, and that's kind of boring. So I was hoping you would argue more, but whatever. That's you being on a diet. Listen, before we record next, kick your diet. Or just binge eat that one day, okay?
Deal.
Perfect. All right, everybody. Thanks again for listening. And until next time.